Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. It is our Nasiha segment of our spiritual breakfast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it spiritual for us. And alhamdulillah, we have Mufti Muhammad Akusab Hafidhahullah. Of course, he's on the road as usual. We'll ask him, where is he going to now? Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adam wa Zaid Sahab, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How are you, Mufti Sahab?
Allah, no shukr. Allah is so kind. Every day, Allah enables us to wake up. There's an opportunity for us to make a difference in our lives, our families' lives, and in humanity. May Allah give us tawfiq to serve him, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah.
May Allah dua for us. Jazakumullah khairan marana for always giving us this lovely opportunity.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us. Last week I was going to fund a bail park. So it was quite a drive, and I was thinking of Mufti Sahab, how you, every week you're traveling here, there, just for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where is Mufti Sahab traveling today?
Ameen. Allah accepted in His mercy. Alhamdulillah. And really, when you think of the fact that Allah ta'ala doesn't need us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enabling us, how much shukr we can make. And alhamdulillah, Allah gives us wonderful saatis who join us. Alhamdulillah. You know, it's mercy of Allah. Brother Ashraf comes with us. We have Brother Jameel. Alhamdulillah. Brothers are ready to go meet people for Allah. What a ni'mah of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. What steps to him? Alhamdulillah. And may Allah enable us to share Islam with the non-Muslims. May Allah enable us to motivate our Muslims how we can be better people and how we can share Allah's deen with the world. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Sahab, what's on the menu for us today?
Today being Dhul Qa'dah, and subhanAllah, the days of Hajj are, subhanAllah, in sight of every one of us. So I want to discuss a very pertinent event in our seerah. It became such an opening that Sahaba used to say, we've never experienced a greater conquest. But what's very interesting is, in this journey, despite it being a conquest, it wasn't a battle. SubhanAllah. And what happened was, what was the conquest in this journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was conquered? I would love our listeners to pay attention, and let's see if they can learn from the discussion what was the actual conquest. And we can also carry on this amazing conquest. What did the Sahaba radiallahu anhu conquer on this journey? Where Rasulullah, where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, there was never in Islam a conquest like this. And there wasn't a battle. SubhanAllah. So as we discuss the narration, inshallah, and the event, hopefully our listeners can listen in. And afterwards, they can share it with you, Marana, Zahid Sahib, what they feel was the conquest of this amazing journey. So can we get underway, Marana?
So the listeners can send in their messages. This is the number 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, +27-84-786-3132. So the question, Mufti Sahib, is?
What was the conquest here? What was conquered during this expedition that we are now about to discuss? So maybe the answer they will find in the discussion, inshallah, and they welcome to phone in just to be part and parcel of our discussion, inshallah, if you feel suitable.
No, I prefer this. It's beautiful to have it interactive, inshallah.
Can we get underway?
So,
bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-Nabi. It was the second of Dhul Qa'dah. The year was 6 Hijri. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw an amazing dream. And what was the dream? He is entering the Haram Sharif. Himself and his Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they entering in full amnesty. This was contrary to the norm, because up to this date, after the Hijrah, Muslims were not welcome in Makkah. The Meccans banished them. The Meccans assassinated some of them, Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Meccans used to torture Sahaba in dungeons. The Meccans did not allow Sahaba a visa into Makkah Mukarramah. And now it seemed to be a contradiction. That Allah's beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees this vision, this dream, Mubarak dream, the dreams of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam are true. And he mentions this to his Sahaba radiallahu anhu after Fajr. ذو القعدة that we are performing Umrah. And he said, I saw my Sahaba entering Makkah, performing the Umrah, and then they were shaving their hair. Most of them were making halq, removing the hair fully. A few shortened the hair. And when he mentioned this to the Sahaba, they were elated. The environment in Medina was electrifying. Everyone were rejoicing. Why? Because they were yearning for the Kaaba for years. The Sahaba from Medina as well, who loved the Kaaba, especially the Sahaba who were the Muhajireen, who hailed from Makkah Mukarramah, who grew up in Makkah Mukarramah, but have been barred from seeing the Kaaba for a lengthy period of time. Now they all get ready. On this journey, our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accompanies with him our mother, Hazrat Ummu Salama, radiallahu anha. She was Ramla. Hazrat Hind, bint Abi Umayyah, radiallahu anha. The Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, according to the different reports, were 1400 to 1600. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them not to take weapons, only take what is needed for defense. And subhanAllah, they undertake this journey. And as they are traveling between Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwarah, the mushrikeen tried to attack them. But the Muslims portrayed to them that we are not here to fight. As soon as the Muslims conquered, they released those that tried to vanquish, that tried to attack them. And they defeated them. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam released those attackers to portray to them that, see, we're not here to fight. We are here in Allah's name. We are here in peace. We are here to look at the Kaaba. We are here to perform Umrah. So this is basically what had happened. Now, as they continue, they come to a point where the camel of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the camel of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, kneels down. Anakhat, anaka. When the camel knelt down, what happened then was, Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu was perturbed. Why is the camel kneeling down? What's the reason for this? And there was some worry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this camel is not stubborn. But remember, Allah is in control, and Allah who halted the elephant of Abraha is the same Allah who caused the camel to kneel down. So for our listeners' benefit, this entire event is detailed in chapter 48 of the Quran Kareem. So after we hear this event, inshallah, we should make tilawah of that chapter and we'll really enjoy the discussion. Forgive me for the commotion because we have been stopped here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What happened then was, as they continue, when Rasulullah said to the Sahaba, the purpose here for me is to tell you, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying to the Sahaba, that we are not here to fight. This is why Allah wants me to share this message with you, and this is why the camel has halted. And now when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this to the Sahaba, reminding them that we are not here to fight, we are here in peace. We are here to bring peace, and we are here for peace. And then the camel gets up. And now they continue their journey. They get to a town outside Makkah Mukarramah called Hudaybiyah. And here, the Meccans seal the walls of Makkah, block the Muslims' entry. They are not allowed to enter at all. Anyway, as the Sahaba camped there, there's a need for water. The water in the stream was finished. There was nothing left. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes down that pond. He places his spear. He asks Allah's help. This hadith is sahih. It's mentioned in the sahih as well in the Bukhari. Water comes out gushing from the spear of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The next hadith mentions water came out gushing from the blessed hand of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is this a contradiction? No. This is actually explaining that both of this happened. Water came out from the spear of the messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and water came out gushing from the blessed hand of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imagine how fortunate are the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu, who drank from the water from the blessed hands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the best water. Where is the water of paradise in comparison to the water emanating from the blessed hands of the messenger, alayhi salawatu min Allahi wa taslimat. Sahaba radiallahu anhu spent those days in that area, waiting there. But as Muslims, they were in the Salah, they were in A'mal, learning, in Ta'leem, learning from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were serving Allah's deen. They were awaiting for Allah's decision. What happened then was, the Mushrikeen kept on sending people to convince the Muslims that you cannot enter. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to them, but see, we are not here to fight. We have come in peace. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Hazrat Uthman bin Affan, radiallahu anhu. You go in. So Uthman could explain to them that we are not here to fight. So when Hazrat Uthman entered Makkah, subhanAllah, he was a man really highly respected. He comes from a famous family called the Banu Umayyah clan in Makkah Mukarramah. And he was a man well off. So people really respected him. When he enters Makkah, they give him an escort. He's taken into Makkah. Then they say to him, okay, we heard your message that you are not here to fight. Let us discuss this in our parliament called Darun Nadwa. In the interim, you are here. You benefit from the Kaaba and we'll give you our response. Hazrat Uthman refused to go by the Kaaba. A few Muslims outside mentioned this. You know, sometimes we learn a lesson. Never be very quick to judge and comment about people. But if this happened, when Allah made these events happen in Sahaba's lives to teach us a very, very pertinent lesson. See, few commented, oh, Uthman, look how lucky he is. He got the Kaaba to himself. Rasulullah overhears this comment of this view. He said, you know, you don't know Uthman. I know Uthman by nature. He'll never benefit from the Kaaba without his messenger, without his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, when they offered Hazrat Uthman to benefit from the Kaaba, he refused. He said, how can I without my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Never. Let me carry on with my duties. My Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me duties. I'll carry on with that. And his other duty was to give dawah to the senior Mushrikeen of Makkah. He gave them dawah. He told them, I'm here also. As I'm here to tell you, we're not here to fight. We want to perform Umrah peacefully and we leave. I'm also here to invite you to Islam. And this is the beauty of Islam. Invite to Islam without force. We can't force the world to become Muslim, but our duty is to invite. He invited and then he continued to fulfill another errand. What was that errand? Rasulullah told him, go visit the Muslims who are suffering in the dungeons of Makkah. Give them the good news that Allah's help is coming soon. That's exactly what happened. Alhamdulillah. He gave them the news and so forth. Then the Mushrikeen sent a few other people. To cut a longer story short, they sent people to converse the Muslims, convince them not to come into Makkah. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam repeatedly explained to them that we're not here to fight. What's the harm if you'll allow us entry? Give us the visa. Let us perform our Umrah. And we are here in peace. We live in peace. Finally, but even those who came to meet the Muslims, in the environment of the camp setup of Medina, of the Sahaba in Hudaybiyah, it was so impressive. It had such an impact on all those who came. They witnessed the Salah. They saw the love between Rasulullah and his Sahaba, the amazing relationship, how all the Sahaba from different backgrounds are so united, and so forth. So many of them who just came to meet the Muslims, who came to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to converse with him, were inspired by Islam positively. Finally, they send their parliamentarian, who was their spokesperson, Suhail bin Amr. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees him approach from a distance and he mentioned to Sahaba, they want peace when they send this man. He's their diplomat. When Suhail arrives, they have the discussion, but the Meccans are not prepared to budge to allow the Muslims entry this year. So anyway, they come to a peace treaty. Fine, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam agrees. As long as we don't fight, if you want to, we're not scared. But we don't want to fight you. We rather have peace with you. You have also exhausted yourself. You are tired and so forth and so forth. In that, what was the peace treaty? A ceasefire for 10 years. That was the first peace treaty. The first clause to it. The second one was anyone from Makkah for who are Muslim wanting to come to Medina cannot be accommodated. But anyone from Medina who doesn't want Islam anymore, the Meccans have the right to accommodate him. And another clause to the treaty is you can perform Umrah not this year, but next year. Same time, but next year. To all of this, Rasulullah ﷺ agreed. The document was about to be signed. Just then, Abu Jandal comes forth. This is the son of the diplomat of Quraysh, Suhail's son. He comes escaping from his dungeon. He was shackled in boulders and rocks. And he drags himself and he makes it amidst the Muslims. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to Suhail, O Suhail, I know we are about to sign this document and I agree to everything, but one request I will make from you. Let's start the agreement after we sign this. If this man arrived prior to us completing the document. Because what was one of the clauses? No one from Makkah can be accommodated in Medina. The Messenger wanted to rescue Abu Jandal. Suhail said, never, never will be accepted. The Messenger said, please, I ask you, Suhail, I implore you, please, let this one man go. Suhail said, never. You take him with you now, there's no more peace treaty. The Messenger said, fine. He gave solace to Abu Jandal, Allah will help you. In that, Suhail grabbed Abu Jandal by the collar, dragged him into Makkah, threw him back into the dungeon. But what's the astonishing reality is, the same Abu Jandal, he is the son of Suhail. Look at how we learn from here, Rasulullah's love for Abu Jandal more than his own father's love for him. This is the beauty of Allah's deen. Deen brings love. That you love your brother, that the blood of Islam becomes thicker than blood. The liquid flowing in the body of a Muslim for his other Muslim, for a Muslim brother, for a Muslim brother, and a Muslim sister, for a Muslim sister, that care for each other, that support structure, that following up should become thicker than blood. We see this repeatedly in the lives of the Sahaba Kiram, radiallahu anhu. Anyway, in that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is now not to enter Makkah. Sahaba are shocked. Sahaba are hurt deep down. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, sacrifice your animal, shave your hair, and be going back. Sahaba was shocked. Anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes into the tent of our brother Hazrat Umm Salama to say, you know, Sahaba are shocked. What do you feel? He said, oh Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you just do what you have to do. Sahaba will follow you. It's just that they're shocked. They're amazed what happened. And what was astonishing them also is what they asked Hazrat Abu Bakr. A few asked Hazrat Abu Bakr. This is Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he says something, it has to happen. Hazrat Abu Bakr says, of course. And they asked Hazrat Abu Bakr, didn't Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam perform Umrah? And Abu Bakr, subhanAllah, look at seniority, look at wisdom. He says, Allah's Nabi said, you say you perform Umrah this year. He said, oh, you are right. You will perform. You will perform. But at the time, Allah won. And Allah was making the tarbiyat of the ummah. It happens. See, Allah doesn't come late. Allah comes at the right time. That's why in this chapter 48, when you read the translation, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Muslims that Allah wants to bring into His mercy more people. There are other people who didn't yet get hidayat. Allah wants to give them hidayat. لِيُدْخِلَ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrifices his animal and he removes his baal, Mubarak baal, and Kharash shaves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak hair, Kharash bin Umayyah radiallahu anhu, and now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the Sahaba do the same, but they are still in shock. Hazrat Abu Bakr says, just then, this chapter of the Quran was revealed, chapter 48. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا ليغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا. الله says, indeed we have granted thee a clear and open victory. Allah has definitely forgiven thee. Meaning, what this means, according to the Mufassireen, is Allah's forgiveness for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam means Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is forgiven without doing any wrong. Well, how is he forgiven? This forgiveness for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is raising of ranks. And the ghafara means to protect and to cover. So for you and I, we make mistakes. Ghafara there would mean Allah will protect us and cover us from the fire of Jahannam. But for Rasulullah, Ghafara means to cover, meaning Allah has covered him and saved him from the sin itself. It means different for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's different for us. And the other meaning here is also Allah has forgiven your ummah. But anyway, they asked Sahaba and they asked Abu Bakr, is this a conquest? And Hazrat Abu Bakr explained, there's never been a conquest like Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. And this will go into our next discussion, inshallah, but to culminate for us to understand how is this a conquest? But there was no fight, and Muslims humbling themselves, going back to Medina Munawwara. The maximum number of Sahaba are there. More than 600 Sahaba. One report says 1400. Let's say 1600. 2 years later, when Sahaba were conquering Makkah, Sahaba were 10,000 strong. In 19 years, 13 plus 6, 19 years, and under 2,000 men, 1,600. Women and children, yes, radiallahu anhu. And 2 years later, 10,000 strong. Subhanallah. This was the conquest. The heart were affected by the beautiful akhlaq of the Muslim. Interaction, transaction, dealings. Because the next year, Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent Sahaba to the kings of the world, inviting them to Islam. Allah's bidwat Allah had his letter, his arranged. I don't know exactly at which point we got halted, but I think we got 2-3 minutes left. Let me just culminate the discussion and see what our listeners say. Oh, respected Ummah, see, this in this 2 years, so many people got hidayah. What was the difference? What was the conquest in Hudaybiyah? And this is the question I have to ask you. There was Badr, there was Uhud, there was Khandaq. But what was the difference in Hudaybiyah? Let us look into it. How come more people in such a short span embraced Islam in these 2 years, from 1600 to 10,000? And interestingly, the 10,000 Sahaba coming to Makkah, holy ones with the Prophet coming to Makkah, is also in the Bible. He returns to Makkah with 10,000 holy ones. جَاءَ وَمَعَهُ عَشَرَةُ أَعْلَافٍ مِّنَ الْأَصْحَابِ. Then 2 years later, when Makkah was conquered, Sahaba were 120,000. So it's a short span. What made the difference? This is what we like our listeners to actually analyze and learn from there. Mention a few points to us, inshallah, and we can discuss it in the next discussion or whenever you give us the opportunity. As well as I
said, one listener has said, did respond. And I think the initial question that was understood was, which was this particular conquest? So they did mention, they did say Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and it took place in Dhul Qa'dah. This was before Mufti Sabit mentioned it. So it was
Allah, wonderful. Allah reward that listener for being part and parcel of the discussion and giving a correct answer. MashaAllah.
Another listener
said, listeners also, what did they say? Tell us.
Another one says that what made the difference in this particular conquest was that the united stance of all, and that softness towards one another. I don't know if that's
good point, because there was consideration. Prior to this, the Meccans were not allowing the Muslims to exist. Now they are allowing Muslims to come into Makkah, like the next year in Dhul Qa'dah, Muslims entered Makkah. And they're seeing the same people that they had war with the previous decade. And they're seeing how amazing are the Muslims. So that interaction, those transactions, the softness of the Muslims, the warmth is what warns them. That's correct what the listener is saying. Allah rewards our listeners.
Another one says that, Mufti Sahib, it is because the Muslimin, they stood firm on their beliefs and their structure, and they didn't bend over to the next, to the kuffar and the rest. And because of that firmness, and because now the exposure to the non-Muslims to see what the beauty of Islam is, this settled in their hearts, and this could have been one of the reasons as well.
That is true, because firmness is pertinent for Islam. In Islam, we have to remain firm, and we can't compromise. Yes, we consider, we are soft, we explain the beauty of deen without force, but we have to remain firm on our stance as Muslims and seeing the strength of the Muslims and their consideration is also what affected them, and that is correct. Firmness and remaining with the istiqamah, and practicing deen, that is also what affects affected them, and that is true. MashaAllah.
And
JazakumAllah khairan. Allah accept us for His deen. JazakumAllah for the opportunity. Sallallahu ala Nabi Nabi bi rahmatika ya arham ar-rahim.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.